morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Brunch Boxing. I'm your host, Matt. And Brunch Boxing is boots on the ground, live on location, San Antonio, Texas. Our guy Ezra's out there covering all the festivities. Saturday, December 6th, Lamont Roach, Pitbull Cruz, PBC Pay.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, I got a phone call. Hold on.
Come on, man.
Let me put this on Do Not Disturb.
Come on, man. That you would kill me if that were me.
I know. But listen, your boots on the ground. You're the man out there. We got Ezra with us. And returning to Brunch Boxing for the first time in months, the COO of Brunch Boxing, the brains behind the operation, the man that makes this go, the Mexican Al Hammer himself, Mike. What the fuck is going on, bro?
Man, ain't no party like a PVC party, man. You know, you got to get me a good party to bring me outside. And here we are.
Yo, I'm excited, man. Ezra, you're out there. Tell us what's going on out there. Tell us the atmosphere. Set the scene for us.
It's great atmosphere. Great, great atmosphere for this fight. I think the city's excited for it, man. I think this city right here in San Antonio, I think they're begging for events like this to come here. And I think that PBC sees that by being out here on how excited the people are, the energy that's going to this fight has, how well the ticket sales are going. I think this is going to be great, man. And I think people are really excited for these fights. You know me, I'm disappointed that Janibek's not fighting. I'm disappointed in all that whole, how that went down. But it still can't even come close to derailing this card. It can't even come close to stopping the energy for this. Well, Shaky Foster versus Fulton, that is real heat right there, man. That is real heat. That is, you could cut that tension with a knife. Something about Roach and Cruz, it's something, the vibe of it. Just the way they're talking, something. I think you're about to get a really, really fun, entertaining fight between those guys. Something about this matchup, just about it, just not just the way it looks on paper, just the way they look when they're facing off, just might be one of those things where you get just a damn good fight. These guys are just meant to be in the ring with each other. I don't know why. I'm just getting that vibe with it.
Now, you did mention that Oshaki Force is even full, and it seems like real beef. So none of this is manufactured. None of this is like, hey, we're just trying to sell the fight.
Not at all. There's none of this is fake. None of that. This is something real here. Some real tension. And we don't get this a lot in boxing. We don't get this enough. You need more beef like this. You need real more tension like this. But this is 100% real. These dudes are not. They're feeling the animosity in there. And when they were facing off, I thought you could see it almost turn into something else. When they get in the ring, these guys are really trying to prove something, but they're really trying to prove it against that guy. You know what I mean? Not just trying to prove how good they are, but they're trying to prove it against that guy. They want to show the guy in front of them that they're better than him.
And you know, that's like old school boxing. It's not like a personal beef where somebody says something to somebody or somebody's girlfriend or somebody this. No, I'm better than you. I'm going to whoop your ass.
Exactly. And that's what this is. That's really all this is. But you could feel it. And I'm telling their teams are behind it. Everything. This is, I can't wait to see those guys in the ring. Like, it's just something about this. Like I said, the Janibek thing, I think that would have been a fight that I could have got really excited for too. But with those two fights alone. And then I'm really buying into this Jesus Ramos versus Shane Mosley Jr. fight. Now, it could be because I'm here, right? It could be I got the aroma of the fight, right? I got the aroma of a big event. It could be that, right? But something about that fight, something about Shane Mosley, the way he's held himself in the buildup of this fight, the way he's held himself in these interviews. And this guy really loves boxing, and he really wants to be something in boxing. He really wants to have his moment in boxing. He's fought. He's not a guy that was given it. You know, for surprisingly, being a Hall of Famer son, he had to earn it. He had to earn it. A lot of the guys disappeared. No, he went and earned it. And he's looking for his moment. He's looking for his opportunity to say, hey, I proved this. I'm one of the guys in boxing. I am a champion in boxing. I am one of those guys. I'm legit. And this is a fight against Jesus Ramos. And it's an uphill battle because Jesus Ramos is a real deal. Jesus Ramos is really good. But, you know, Jesus Ramos told me something. He said he wants to fight like he fights in sparring. He hasn't been able to do that yet. Now, what that tells me is Jesus Ramos is probably a killer in sparring. Jesus Ramos is probably a killer in the gym. He wants to bring that out into the ring, and he says he thinks it's the fight to do it.
And maybe it doesn't translate.
Maybe it doesn't. And that happens, guys, right?
I mean, you tell me, you're the former boxer.
Yeah, it happens. You got guys that go in the gym, or you're like, who's beating this guy? And then when they get in the ring, it's just something else. Because in that ring, in an actual pro fight, it's just a different speed and intensity. And you as much as you want, you can't match it in the gym. And that anyone will tell you that, like, as how to, because I only had one pro fight, so like I don't want to check too much crazy because I don't not have that much experience in it. But anyone will tell you that the spar is good, all that's great, but it's not the same intensity, it's not the same nerves, it's not the same speed that what it is in that ring. And it's not the same, the consequences mean more, so your timing might get thrown off, right? You might be willing to take a shot with headgear and bigger gloves, but you might not, the timing might be thrown off if you just take a second to think about it. Take a second to say something, or take a second to not feel as loose as you would be with that protection. So that's the thing. It's like, sometimes it just doesn't happen. But Jesus Ramos sees what he is in the gym, and he says, if I could translate that into the ring in a pro fight in front of, you know, an audience, and you guys could see that, I might be one of the best in the world.
Now, what are we seeing from Shane Mosley Jr.?
Listen, Shane, he's changed. I've been in the gym with Shane before. I've seen Shane train. He loves the sport. I don't see any fear in him. I see a guy that's excited to be here. I see a guy that loves the whole process of boxing. And I think whatever the best of Shane is, you're going to get it here. Not saying that, oh, Shane's going to be in here competitive. Shane has a chance of winning this. But I just think that he's going to put his best foot forward. And I think he's getting this with maturity, with a lot of years in the sport. And I think he's going to be ready to be in the ring and feel comfortable to try to do something special and to have a memorable moment in his career.
You know what's crazy? The last time we said that we were going to get the best out of somebody, it was Devin Haney against Brian Norman.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. I hope Jesus Ramos is not sleeping on this dude. I think he's going to be a punching bag. Because Shane Mosley's been waiting for this moment, man.
Yeah, he has. He has. And it's funny because I'm looking at pretty much like all the guys on this thing. And I'm looking at a guy like Shane Mosley, and same thing with like Lil Roach and them. You know, how to earn it. You know what I mean? How to get to this point. Didn't just stumble into this spot. How to earn this spot. How to keep working and keep building their career to get to a spot like this. I just think that all the guys on this card, I feel like they're all pretty secure with themselves.
And I don't know if that makes sense. That Shane Mosley got cut by Golden Boy.
Yeah. But I think that was more of a personal beef between Shane and Shane Mosley Sr. and De La Hoya. But I think that all these guys are comfortable who they are and are comfortable to be in that ring. So I feel like we're going to see some good stuff here. I really do.
Now, let's get to one of the other fights on the card. Eris Landy Lara versus Janet Beck Olympic. Oh, what? Wait, my bad. Eris Landy Lara versus Johan Gonzalez. It was supposed to be Lara versus Janet Beck. Your boy Janet Beck tested positive.
Yeah, and listen,
fight canceled. Ezra, what are your thoughts?
Listen, I wish boxing would take this more seriously. I wish they would suspend him 5 years. Like, I'm dead serious about that, right? If they take this seriously and boxing wants to clean this sport up, then suspend them 5 years. Make the punishment 5 years. But they're not. That's the problem I have with it. They're not. At worst, he's going to be suspended, what, Matt, a year? What's at worst going to happen? If that, right?
Maybe a year.
That's what I'm saying, maybe. Right? Maybe, right? And maybe nothing happens to us. Maybe in a few months they say, it's an adverse finding, or, you know, maybe past the VADA threshold, but not under this certain city's threshold, or whatever nonsense they're going to come up with. And I feel like then nothing's going to happen. So the problem I have is I get it. Listen, if you don't want drug cheats in here, then don't just talk about it. Don't just complain about it when it happens. Do something. And it don't matter. To me, it really doesn't matter if you took a tainted supplement. I got to be honest with you. It doesn't. Because your responsibility as a fighter is to make sure that everything going in your body is legal. And here's another thing, too. These supplements, I mean, most of them are borderline. The reason why these supplements are so good is because they're getting so close to the stuff that's illegal that you almost can't believe it's legal. That's really what this is. You know, I can't believe it's not butter. I can't believe this is legal. That's what a good supplement is. That's honest truth. So if you want to clean up the sport, if you're going to take something that the risk is 100% on you, and if that comes contaminated and you get pissed hot, 4-year, 5-year ban. I promise you that no one's pissing hot if you do that. And anyone that does, they're stupid enough to do it. They're stupid enough to take that risk. Get rid of them. But Boston won't do that.
Like the only people making strides when it comes to drug testing are the same people that's getting criticized the most, the WBC.
Yeah, well, the WBC, with the drug testing, whatever, but do they 100% follow through when a guy tests positive?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, look at it. You got a situation right here with Matias, the fight's still happening.
As I told you what happened.
Yeah, but what? Okay, and listen, Matt. Okay, I'm going to say this, right? I'm glad we're getting into this. You said the fight was going to happen. What did I say was going to happen?
I don't remember. I just know you were wrong.
Yeah, I said, I don't think this fight's going to happen, right? And I gave my reasoning on why I thought this fight wasn't going to happen and whatever. But the fight's happening under a black cloud that says, oh, well, he's saying he's not guilty. We're going to do further tests, but we're going to allow the fight to go forward. So in this cloud that they're under, Matias is either cheating or he's not cheating, but no one knows, right? Even though he pissed hot. But they're saying, well, we don't know, so let's just let it forward and we'll figure it out later. So if Matias beats the hell out of Dalton, right?
Which he will.
And then a month later, they're like, oh, you know what? He was pissing hot. Yeah, he was on stuff. What the hell are we doing? That's what I'm saying. That's the stupidest thing I could ever hear. Just stop, delay the fight then. If you need more time to figure this out, then push off the fight.
Time. They figured it out already.
They didn't figure it out. No. Because remember, he's on a suspension and they're going to keep testing him. So no, he didn't figure it out. That's not true. They did not figure it out. That's the problem with this. That's what my issue is. Is you were right, right? But the reason my logic was that would be the stupidest thing to possibly do. That to me, if you care about, oh, let me stop drug cheats, then hey, don't let a guy in there that's just piss hot. Go fight a man. And there's a chance he puts an absolute beating on him. And then we're gonna say after, well, you know what? He did piss hot. We were wrong there. That's stupid.
I don't think you understand what happened.
I get what happened. Tell me.
From your perspective, Ezra, what do you think happened?
I think that he pissed hot, right? Vada caught him under New York's limit. They're saying that it is beneath their limit, right? Of what's the word I'm looking for?
Threshold,
right? They're saying it meets under the threshold. So the WBC is saying, okay, we're still going to sanction this fight. We're still going to leave the belt on him. And we're okay with this fight moving forward for the belt. Right? And the commission is saying it's below our threshold. Even though he pissed hot for it, we think that he didn't cheat enough to get in trouble. Right? He didn't have enough of that stuff.
No, he didn't cheat at all.
Oh, well, okay. All right. You know what I mean? All right. You know, we allow a little bit, whatever. I think that's pretty stupid.
Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing.
Can I keep going? Because you're asking what happened. Okay. Now the WBC took a stance, right, to protect themselves, where they say, oh, okay, well, we're not 100% sure he's cleared of this. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a suspension out. We're going to allow the fight to go forward, which doesn't make any sense to me, but we're going to allow the fight to go forward and we'll keep monitoring the situation. Okay. That's legal stuff to say, we're not really sure what's happening here, right? We're not clearing them, but we're going to monitor the situation. We're watching them close. Okay. That's what they're doing. Now I get to the athletic commission is the one that's allowing the fight to go forward. I get that. But the WBC is the one that's saying, we're not going to do anything with this belt. We're going to just keep it here. Let this fight happen. And if he pisses hot again after this fight, and it turns out that he was cheating, we'll just say, oh, well, we were suspicious. And now we found out. Now we'll strip the belt. But you can't take that beating away from Dalton Smith, can you? They can't take that away, huh? Well, Ryan Garcia, they couldn't take the beating away that Devin Haney took, could
different
they?
Different situation.
So tell me, Matt, where am I wrong?
Here's where you're wrong. And this is where people go wrong all the time and why I always say that Vada should be kicked out of boxing.
Okay.
Vada is not following the established protocols of the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Okay.
The World Anti-Doping Agency has an in-competition list, an out-of-competition list, and they have a certain threshold for certain drugs that they know you could be contaminated. So there's a certain threshold that is not going to trigger an adverse analytical finding. Okay? The problem with VADA is that VADA has a zero threshold, and VADA does not differentiate between in competition and out of competition. So if this was a regular WADA-approved drug testing agency, we would have never heard about this test because it doesn't trigger a positive test.
Okay.
So the problem is with VADA.
Who's paying for VADA? Who's using them? Who's the promoter using them? Okay, the promoter's using them, right?
Yes.
The promoter's using them. Why are they using them? Why did they sign up for VADA testing?
That's a great question. You should ask them. Because they're not the only tester they
out there. No, but I'll tell you what. They signed up for VADA testing to say this is a clean fight.
No.
Wait, hold on. Oh, no, they did. They signed up for VADA testing to make sure that everything was above board and a clean fight. And they did that because they wanted continuous testing, random testing. That's what VADA is going to take care of. Now, whether you like VADA or not, it doesn't matter to me. I didn't pay for them. Okay? But they did. And VADA said, hey, this guy pissed hot.
Listen.
Here's the issue, man.
Under the agreed upon standard, he did not piss hot.
Well, that's the part that confuses me. That's the part that confuses me.
Vada should just be reporting the numbers back.
I get what you explain, but it's stupid. It's a stupid system.
It's not the system. It's literally only VADA.
They signed up for it. They know what they're signing up for. So to say that you signed up for something and you know how they test, right? Matt, you know how they test, right? You're not surprised by this, right? Because you know that that's what they test for. You just explained exactly the issue we're having here, right?
But when I tried to explain it to you before and told you he wouldn't be punished, you said I was wrong.
Because it was stupid. Because it's dumb but logic.
It's not stupid. You're just not understanding.
I thought common sense would pop in, Matt. But here's the issue we have here. It's really stupid. It's really, really dumb. You got a
promotion. Are you having a stroke?
No, I'm just gathering my thoughts. We have a promotion. A promotion is paying for a business, right? A company to monitor the drug testing. The drug testing that they're monitoring doesn't match what apparently the fight is agreed to as far as for the drugs. What the hell are we talking about? But I'm the wrong one here. When these three things are not working together and flowing, and you know the rules, Matt, so they know the rules. So what's happening here then? So I'm the idiot for this, or are they idiots for this? Or is this a whole thing? It's just a mess in general. And a second, also, too, here's another thing. Why do you have a threshold? If something's illegal, why even give them a chance to have a threshold for it? Just explain that to me, Matt.
The reason why there's a threshold is because there is a such thing as contamination. There is a such thing as issues outside of people's forces where you need a threshold. Like, for example, with clenbuterol, there's a livestock issue in South America and in Asia. So WADA established a threshold. They established a threshold. Now, there are many, many drugs where there is no threshold. There's only a select few with a threshold. So let's not make it like everything has a threshold.
Can I tell you really why there's a threshold?
Huh?
Can I tell you really why there's a threshold?
I explained it to you. Now you're going to tell me why you think there's a threshold.
Let me tell you why I think there's a threshold then, which is the real reason why there's a threshold. It's because all these supplement companies, right? All these supplement companies are, like I said, pushing to the edge of cheating. That's what they're doing, right? They're pushing to the edge of cheating. And in order to do that, they probably need a little bit of this illegal stuff.
You need a little bit of this illegal stuff in there. No, you're wrong.
And Ezra, you're wrong.
I'm going to stop you right there because you're wrong.
No, and, 100% and wrong. What happens is you have these VADA, yeah, the testing, and they go and say, what are we going to allow the threshold? And then they bring in an expert. And it just so happens that expert also works for these companies that make these supplements. And they say to that guy, you know, what's the legal amount we should have here? And the guy said, oh, you know, probably just this much. Anything more than that would be excessive. And that's because that's what they're doing with these chemicals. Really, honestly, you want a really clean sport? Get rid of supplements. Get rid of supplements out of the sport. This is what I'm talking about. We're doing a stupid pretend thing here that people really care about the performance enhancers. They don't. They don't. They don't care about it. And they especially don't care about it if it's a fight that's going to cost them money, or it's a fight for a party that is favorable with that certain sanctioning body. That's really this what this is. It's nonsense. It's a stupid. We're playing a false but facade here.
The wider guidelines is for world sport in general, not just boxing. You do understand that, right?
That's fine. It's dumb and all. It's dumb across the board, Matt. It's dumb across the board. Don't just because. Oh wow, though everyone's doing this, they're all stupid. What do you? I don't. What is that? I don't. What do I care about that? Now, like I said, the flaw here. They paid for a company that tests more tests don't match up with what the results they're allowed to do in a fight. And that's their fault. So don't blame the fan for being like, well, that's stupid. Isn't this guy piss hot? Because that's what I got announced, that he pissed hot. And you're saying, well, no, it's actually allowed.
What year did you get your master's in chemistry?
I haven't yet, but I still dream of mine.
Because a guy's a lot smarter than you. Guy's a lot smarter than me. Some of the world's most renowned scientists, they all came together and they all came up with guidelines for the world to have fair sport. But you, Ezra, you know better than everyone.
Of course I did. I fixed it. I said, get rid of all supplements. It's the foolproof plan. That's the problem. Is sometimes you get a bunch of smart people in there, and sometimes you just got to say what's obvious. You get a bunch of smart people, but I'll just say what's obvious. Want me to fix boxing? Drug problem? Fix it right now. No matter contaminated supplement, no matter what, you test positive for any of these things across the board, you're suspended 5 years. There's not going to be no case, not going to be nothing. It's going to be a positive test, a B sample, and you're done. That's it. And I'll fix it tomorrow. And anyone crazy enough to still do that deserves to be out of the sport because they're crazy enough to try some other stuff too. So that's all it is. I fixed it. No, didn't need a scientist, didn't need a master's degree, didn't need nothing.
We're telling athletes not to take supplements.
Don't take any supplements. Not me. Me, I tell you, take whatever think the hell you it. Want.
We're telling athletes.
Remember my original take. Take whatever the hell you want. That's me. Well, if you're going to be a professional athlete, take whatever you need to perform at your highest level. That's what I think. But if we're going to play
for athletes, don't take supplements.
Yes, if we're going to pretend that, hey, steroids, all this, we don't want it out of our sport, very simple. These unnatural powders that people take, get rid of them. These unnatural powders that people took, you know, we want World War II without those unnatural powders. We want World War I without those unnatural powders.
That's not now true. That stuff been around for decades.
And to me, now it seems like people can't function without it. I don't get what's going on here. Get rid of them. I'm just saying, take it serious. If people want to take it serious. But don't blame the people for being confused about what's happening here. Don't blame the people, because I'll be honest with you, man.
No, I blame you, Ezra. The problem is because I try to educate you. And you don't want to consume the information.
You're in the thick of it. But what I provide on this show is I provide the people's perspective. That's fine. If whatever people want to say, I provide the guy that's at home that says, I'm not in the thick of this, but this looks stupid to me. This sounds ridiculous to me. Now, you could get in the thick of it and figure it out, but whenever something has to get that complicated to figure out, it's flawed. It's not working, and it's not working for the people watching at home. That's the truth of it. And that we're going to get into this more when we talk about the TKO, the commission, and all this stuff, but that's what it truly is. Everything you're talking about is such nonsense, I don't even care to hear it. To me, I know for a fact they really don't care about this stuff. I know for a fact that if it's the right fighter for the right money, they will look the other way. They'll make some kind of exception, make some kind of thing to say, hey, you know what? We're good with this. That's just the truth of it. I know people don't want to face that. I think people feel uncomfortable about that. But to me, I say, let everybody take whatever the hell they want. But if we're going to be serious about this, I'm willing to go the other way too. 5 years suspension. 5 years, no matter contaminated, no matter what, you took the chance. 5 years. I wish they would get strict on it.
Strict liability has never worked, and it doesn't work. It's not a good idea because contamination happens. It happens. So you're telling me that Canelo Alvarez should have been suspended for 5 years?
What was the thing when you told me with Ryan Garcia? Contamination didn't matter. That was his responsibility.
Here's the thing, Matt. Let's be consistent. He lied about contamination.
You told me it didn't matter about contamination. He was going to suspend it no matter what. They were going to remove this victory no matter what.
Because I don't remember that.
Contamination is not his responsibility. You told me this. We have a recorded video.
I don't remember that.
What are we doing? I remember. I remember. The people at home remember. I remember.
What I know.
But, hey, go ahead.
Is that Mauricio Sulaiman is right. I'm right. And you're wrong. As usual. Because here's the thing, right? With Matias, right? Here's the thing with Matias. Matias tested positive for Osterine, right? Under VADA rules. Why is VADA's rules different than the established rules of the entire world? See, VADA.
You tell me?
You know why? I think because VADA likes to to trick people and pretend like they're the gold standard, like they're catching people. But what happens, no. What happens is, because they don't follow the guidelines, they can say you have a positive test, and then when the people who are supposed to make the ruling when it comes to results management, because VADA doesn't handle results management, they have no power of authority. When the people who have the authority with the results management review the standard procedure, it does not line up with it being a positive test.
But Matt, they hired VADA.
They got to get VADA out of boxing.
But Matt, they hired VADA.
I agree. The stupid part is not the test or the system. The stupid part is VADA is allowed to be part of boxing.
Okay, fine. But the stupid part is hiring them, knowing that they're not within the limit. They're not testing how the structure is. That's the stupid part, Matt. So you're blaming VADA for saying you know how VADA tests, right? You know, right? Before this even happened, you know how VADA tests.
Yeah.
You know the flaw in hiring VADA for this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what you're telling me is you're blaming the window cleaner, right? You're blaming the window cleaner. When someone hired a window cleaner, but the roof is dirty. And they're saying, well, you don't do this. The guy's like, nah, I clean windows. The guy's like, but the roof's dirty. And you're saying, God, stupid window cleaner. I don't know what the hell he's doing here. I don't get it. I'm lost here. They know that. You know that. So they must know that. So I don't get it. I don't understand what we're doing here. Okay.
They need to be kicked out of boxing. Here? That's the bottom line. So here's the thing.
Oh, fine. You can kick him out. I don't care. I'm not a guy.
The changes that is either VADA comes in line with the established protocol of the entire world, or VADA gets kicked out of boxing.
That's fine. Or how about just hire the right place? How about just hire the right place that would do the right thing? How about that?
Yeah, they should hire a drug-free sport.
Whatever. So why did they hire VADA? Tell me, why did they hire VADA then?
Because VADA was started by Dr. Margaret Goodman, who was the former commissioner of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Okay, they have a very cushy relationship with Nevada, and I think that they were the recipient of those relationships, which is why they became the go-to place in boxing.
Okay, that's fine, but people are hiring them, though, right? You admit this, right? They're hiring them. They're going and saying, just choose VADA for this job.
And they should. And they should. That's the bottom line.
But I'm the idiot. Okay, what are we going to get to next? What are we talking about next? God, this stuff.
Because we focus on Matias.
One last thing about Matias. Okay. Well, let's get into it. I want to say this. Let's decide now. Let's not do this. Let's not do this post fight. Let's decide now. Are we going to give Matias credit for this victory? Or are we going to say, oh, that guy is hot? No, but not just you. I'm talking about everyone, right? Are we going to give credit for his victory? Or are we going to say that's the guy that pissed off? Now, also, the other way around, Dalton Smith. Now, Dalton Smith loses. Is he a bum? Oh, he got exposed. Or did he lose a guy that's on that stuff? I'm just curious, right? And if Dalton Smith were to win, did he just beat Matias? Or did he beat some juiced up monster? I just want that to be decided now so we can go into this and I know how to feel.
Ezra, we should be telling the people how to feel. Your problem is because you don't understand our place in the boxing game. And you take it for granted. We are the ones that should be driving the conversation, not looking to other people. I try to educate you as best I can. I can't help it if you don't want to take that education and further educate the people. We should give Matias credit because under any agreed to science, he did not test positive. It is only VADA with their stupid rules. So we should be talking about VADA. And we should also be praising Mauricio Sulaiman.
Oh, bro. Wow. Praising. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Because once again, he's doing the job that Gustavo Olivieri and Daryl Peoples refuses to do.
Oh, wow. Praising. Wow. I'm going to say this when it comes to Matias Fire. I'm going to say he didn't piss off. Nah, he didn't. He's cleared 100%. But I'm also going to say, you know what? I'm going to count that Ryan W. The only excuse you could tell me now.
Oh, my God. You're so dumb. Let me ask you a question. Before you put your foot in your mouth, let me ask you a question. Did Ryan test above the established threshold?
According to VADA.
No. According to the commission.
Wait, hold on. Because the commission, we don't really even know the commission took the test.
So the commission's lying when they said that they tested it.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. We never really got to the bottom of that.
All right.
Listen.
According to the commission, Ryan tested above the threshold and Ryan accepted a 1-year suspension, which is an admission of guilt.
Okay.
So let's be smart and let's actually take things on a case by case basis.
You know what?
Let's actually be smart.
I was told, is that okay with you? We used to talk about resumes and stuff, and I would bring up a guy, and someone would tell me, "Oh, well, he didn't really win that fight, right?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I get you, but you know, it is on the, you know, we got to kind of count it because it's on his record, right?" And some people would tell me, "Oh, you listen to three old men tell you how to think, right?" And I get the point, right? But like, you know, it kind of gets in a weird spot, right? It's like some kind of weird area, and then I get to a situation like this, and then I'm told, well, you just got to accept what we're doing here, right?
Are we here to drive the conversation? Because listen, you could go back to MMA if you want. If boxing is too hot for you, if what we're doing here, Brunch Box, is too hot for you, and you're unable to elevate the conversation to a smart level where other people should be following us, then leave, Ezra. Go back to MMA.
I don't get what you mean by that, though. I'm really confused by that, right? Because you're saying, so taking their word and taking for what they're saying, that's the elevated conversation? That's the pinkies up on the conversation? Uh-huh. Is that high-class stuff right there? Right there, what we're talking about? To me, you know what I mean? Like, you don't hear the nonsense of everything that was said. It's all nonsense. Now, I get you. You get the rules, and you get why this makes sense. I understand that. You made that perfectly clear. You've laid that out nicely. I give you that. But what I'm saying is it's all stupid.
You know, I get you know the rules. You know who could best explain this to you? How boxing works. Because clearly, you don't know how boxing works.
Maybe I'll go buy a book.
Now, maybe I'll go. Let's talk about your boy, Janibek.
Okay. I got a gum somewhere. Go ahead.
Meldonium, zero threshold, mm-hmm. Everywhere in the world, established.
Okay.
He's dirty.
I don't know anything about that.
Meldonium.
Yeah, Meldonium. I don't know anything about it. So I don't know if it could be contaminated something. I don't know. I don't know if it's either ever traced like that. It doesn't matter.
It's a zero threshold.
As I'm saying, zero threshold. I love that. Zero threshold. I wish they would do that across the board, right?
But
zero threshold. I don't get why not. Someone still has explained that to me, right? But zero threshold, I'm okay with it. Now suspend him 5 years.
Why aren't you praising Mauricio Sulaiman for what happened with Janibek?
Right.
Why would I praise him?
Because here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Have you not noticed that a lot of these guys who test positive are guys that have fought historically within the IBF and WBO. Okay. Have you not noticed that?
You're pointing it out.
There's a reason for that. Because the IBF and WBO do not have a clean boxing program like the WBC and like the WBA, who followed the WBC's lead, okay? So Mauricio Suleiman, who gets all the criticism in the world, he's the one that's been on the front lines fighting for a clean sport, okay? So when the WBO and IBF champions come to the WBC and they happen to test positive, you should be like, you know what? Mauricio Suleiman might be right. We should praise Mauricio Suleiman. But you don't want to do that. Because it's easier to point out every time he's wrong.
He's done good stuff, he's done bad stuff. Just like anyone, any person, right? He's done good stuff, he's done bad stuff. And if they caught Janovic cheating, and that's good. Because this is a sport against performance enhancement drugs and stuff like that. I'm good with it. Now I'm just saying, not Mauricio Suleiman, I'm not blaming him for this. I'm just saying boxing as a whole, let's just suspend him for 5 years. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, let's just take it seriously. That's what I'm saying. Make the punishment so severe that no one wants to do this anymore. No one's willing to take that chance. Let's get an honest product here. Let's not give these little limits to where someone can work the system. Let's just give an honest product. That's all I'm saying. Because to me, these conversations sometimes, they're kind of pointless. They're kind of, they rile people up, but we don't ever really get a resolution on it. That's just the honest truth. And I know you want to praise Mauricio Suleiman. Right, when he does something positive, and that's fine. And like I said, he could do something negative, we'll be negative about it. I'm fine with that too. Since we're here, right, I think we had enough talk of all that. It is what it is. Matisse is going to fight, Janovic's not. That's where we're at.
As it should be.
Okay, but can we talk about the sanctioning bodies?
So what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about a system that to me it's a flawed system, and I think that because of this whole TKO thing and this whole UBO thing, people have to defend the system that we're in. And I think that people think, well, they must really like the system. They must really like the WBC. They must really like the IBF and all those things, right? They must really like. And that's not the case at all. To me, I think it's a very flawed system. I think I have a lot of complaints about it. I got a lot of complaints about how the rankings work. I got a lot of complaints on when they enforce mandatories. I have a problem with the inconsistency of it all. I have an obvious problem with where there's favoritism towards promotions or favoritism towards fighters or favoritism towards just where the money's coming from. So I think that this is not a perfect system at all. Right? I don't think this is a perfect system at all. And I think that the holes in the system and the complaints of the system really make it easy for this all-EAC revision to come in, because the complaints there that they're going to say and all these things they're going to say that these sanctioning bodies do, this gum is falling apart. These sanctioning bodies do are true. They probably do those things. Like that's the honest truth. It is a very flawed system. And they have not, the sanctioning bodies have went years and years and years not looking to fix any of these things. Not there to improve themselves. Not there to say, hey, this right here really isn't right. And we should really improve this and make sure that we are properly doing what we're supposed to be doing. They didn't do it. And now they're in a position where someone's saying, hey, look it, you guys are doing all this. And there's the flaw here. Now, I 100% agree. This system that's here, even though with all its flaws, is still 100 times better for the fighter than the Ali revision. 100%, Ali Act revision. 100%, this is 100% better. Allowing a loophole for the UBOs will only hurt the fighters in the long. But that is not saying that this is the best system we have. It's just the system that is in place that we have to defend. But all the things that they're doing, all the things with the rankings, there's a big problem with them too. And that's the one thing. It's like, you allow for someone to come in because you've been operating in this way for so long.
So what's your issues with the sanctioning body? Because honestly, you just said a whole lot of nothing. You were rambling, I don't understand. You didn't name your actual issues. What issues do you have with sanctioning bodies?
The rankings have no structure. They don't make any sense. They bring guys up to top ratings because to top part of the rankings because of his promotion affiliation, because of the money he makes. He's with the right people. We've seen
Let me
guys.
Ask Let me ask you a question.
Wait, you ask me a question.
No, we gotta go one guys? By one. We're gonna go one okay. by one. What would be the difference between the way sanctioned bodies do their rankings and the way TKO will do their rankings?
No, that's my whole argument. Is I'm not saying that the other one's better. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this is better for fighters. I'm with you on that. But let's not act like this has been a perfect system because it hasn't, right? This is something that the reason we are even here with this talk, and this guy goes in front of, they go in front of Congress or they go in front of whoever they went in front of today. And the complaints they had was saying about what the system we have in place were valid. There were valid complaints.
This is where you guys fuck up at. And the same way people fuck up with relationships with the 80-20 rule. Why does the system have to be perfect? What does a perfect system look like?
Okay.
You know, it's like having a girlfriend and she's great. 80% of the things she does is great. But you want to focus on the 20% of the stuff that you maybe don't like. And then you end up ruining a relationship.
You think?
Where that was doing the right thing by you.
No, but you think that the sanctioning bodies is 80-20? 80% positive from the sanctioning bodies?
I think by and large, the sanctioning bodies do a great job. And a lot of the stuff that we see talked about within the boxing media amongst boxing circles are just overblown. Because to me, I don't know what it is about boxing fans. Boxing fans are conditioned to complain about everything. So that's what we look for. No matter what it is, let's see if we can find something wrong with it to complain about.
Listen,
I even go higher, Ezra. I think it's about 95%, 6%. You know, WBC is good. You know, it's just that huge 1% that people always complain about of what happens up top. And there's all kinds of other fighters below, you know.
I'm not highlighting one in particular. I'm not highlighting one. But what I do think is nothing will be perfect. You're right. But I don't like a system that is never looking for improvement. It's never looking to patch up. And the honest truth is, these guys, no one was looking at boxing for a long time. No one was looking to really change what boxing was doing. No one was looking to see if these guys were actually doing what they were supposed to be doing. And they were loving that. And now they have
that's
to
not
go
true,
and
say, If that's true, then why did the WBC create the clean boxing program? If nobody's watching, they don't need to improve, then they're lucky to improve. Why did the WBC take the step to start the clean boxing program? Why did the WBC start their weight management program? Why did the WBA start their own fair boxing program?
Okay, all these things across the board, and the positive, depending on the way you look at them, right, the positive, clean up the sport, I get you. What I'm talking about is rankings. What I'm talking about, the way they enforce the bouts. What I'm talking about is the creation of a bunch of bouts. And remember, they did do the thing where, like, we're not going to have so much bouts. And then we kind of still kept all the damn interim
bouts. You just want the WBA.
Yeah. And all those things, you kind of all that. And we still have super champions. So all the things that don't make any sense. They're never trying to improve it. That's just honest truth. Like, let's not play revisionist history here, right? Like, it is what it is.
You're trying to revise history. You're saying that
I'm not.
They,
I'm not.
Bro,
we've known,
how did these programs come into place if they were never trying to improve the sport?
Bro, you know the rankings of a guy with the right promotion is going to skyrocket him into the top 10 and get him closer to a title shot than any guy that doesn't. And we were literally told by one of the guys that even though the guy was ranked number one, even though he had come off a first-round knockout, they couldn't give him a fight because he didn't have the right promoter to do it. We were told that by the mouth of a promoter. That is not what a promotion is there for. That is not the rules. That is not the laws that they're supposed to be following. That's not the structure that they are there for. All that right there is a huge flaw in the system. It is still, that huge flawed system is still better for the fighters than a UBL system. Don't get me wrong. It's 100% better because at least the fighter still has ground to stand on to negotiate. Well, why it's better for the fighter is because the ranking system eventually, right, at times it pays off for a guy that doesn't have the big money behind him, right? That's what the ranking system's there for. Ranking system there is for a guy who can't be basically boxed out because he doesn't have the right people. He's not doing the business with certain people. And he will still get his rightful shot. That's what it's there for. Now, it doesn't work 100% of the time. But there are times where it does work, and a guy does actually get a shot because
Most times it works.
Okay. But also, under the system we have, the fighter has good leverage in negotiations. And he gets a fair shake, a fair share of the money when it comes to an event. That's what we're talking about here. When we talk to the UBOs, they are going to take all that and all that power and leverage, not any of the other stuff, right? Because they're going to do crooked rankings. They're going to do favoritism to whatever guy they want. They're going to do all those things. There's no way that you're going to say, oh, this will be better. No, it's not going to be better. That's the problem I had with everything that was happening on that whole meeting today. Is the one guy here to defend the system we currently have, and the one guy to say, hey, what they're doing there did a horrible job explaining any of it. He did a horrible job of defending and saying, hey, this right here is nonsense what they're saying. And this is really going to affect the fighters. Because what really is, it's a magic trick, right? It's deception. They're saying here at the bottom, these guys could make as low as a dollar a round, right? They're saying that. Out here at the bottom, they say, keep watching right here at the bottom and see what we're going to do. While he's doing that, there's guys up here at top that are making $50 million, okay? But you're watching right here what he's doing at the bottom. He's slowly erasing that $50 million all the way to about $5 million. And he's raising up that $1 to $150. And that's all you're watching is that $150 go up with a little bit more insurance, a little bit more things for guys that they know does nothing to their bottom line. They know that does nothing, but that top, they got it from $50 million down to $5 million. You're paying a guy for an event. And I'm being generous with that $5 million. I am being very generous with that $5 million. It's deception. But they had a guy on there. They couldn't explain it. Had no charisma. Couldn't get words out clearly enough. Couldn't make his point.
What guy are you talking about?
Huh?
What guy are you talking
about? I believe his name was Fresh or what the hell was it? I really don't remember. It was an older gentleman. And he was the only guy in there that kind of counteracted.
You talking about Pat English?
Pat English, there you go. I don't know why I had it. I don't know where I got that from. But yeah, Pat English, he was the only guy there, but he could not make the point in enough time that he had. He couldn't make it clear, and he just kind of looked like he was kind of did what you, which honestly, what you did with that whole steroid thing. It was just a bunch of stuff. It's like, this is too much in the weeds. It's very simple, sir, what's happening here. They are raising a very low minimum to cut a really high top all the way down. It's very simple. That's really all you have to explain about it. If he said one thing, he brought up Ali, and he said if Ali was fighting and he couldn't get to his point off, and I think it was a very simple explanation. If Ali's star power was fighting today, he could make close to $100 million per fight. If you got the share of what the UFC does, which they give they share about 15% of all the money that comes in, Ali would only make about $15 million. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a pay going from 100 million at the highest level to 15 million. You're talking about people's health. You're talking about how they are after the fight. Well, the one thing that for sure will take care of a person after they're done with their career is that they max out as much money as they could have done when they were fighting. And the only way you can max out your money is to get to a point where you can negotiate with actual leverage, with an actual, you have some power at your end of the table. What the UBO is, which is very clear, they're not hiding it. They are going to take away all that leverage. And at the highest, they are going to knock everyone's pay down. And they're going to collect all the money to themselves and cut a very small percentage to the fighters. Very simple trick. Watch what I do here at the lowest level. Don't watch my hand up here whilst I raise the money at the highest level all the way down.
I agree. What else we got?
I'm very frustrated watching that. Very, very frustrated.
What else we got?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you want to get into the how we think the fight, early prediction, early feel for the fights this weekend?
No. What I want to know is, because you're down there in San Antonio.
Oh, man, am I down here in San Antonio?
What's the scuttlebutt? What are you hearing?
You want to know the news and notes, the rumors?
But the people need to know what's going on out there.
The dirt sheets?
Yeah, we promised them some exclusive news for people to join us. Give the people something.
Let me tell you something. I think it's going to be a very, very big year for PBC. And from what I'm hearing, it's going to be a big year for U.S. boxing. This is going to be U.S. boxing events in 2026 in a way we haven't seen in years. And I think that maybe there's a lot of reasoning for why that is, but I think that shows like that we're having here in San Antonio, we're going to see a lot more shows like this to a lot more cities like this that are begging for events. And I think that you're going to see them take advantage of hometown fighters. You're going to see them take advantage of the key dates that we've been dependent on. And I think your boxing is going to bring back fighting to the U.S. Did that satisfy your...
Have you heard any specifics about any of the fighters that the people care about?
No, I don't. I haven't heard. I don't want to say any names or nothing like that. No, Not I.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Now, one of the other fights that was on the card, Elijah Garcia, he was supposed to be fighting somebody. I saw it was reported that the kid tested positive. I'm here to tell you guys that the kid did not test positive for anything. It wasn't a drug test while the fight was canceled. I can't get into the specifics of why it was canceled, but apparently it had nothing to do with a failed drug test.
Oh, wow. Do you know if when the Jannik fight was pulled out, was other people approach, or was it always going to be like other fighters approach on this card to step in to fight Laura?
Well, not exactly approached. They gave some thought, like briefly, to Jesus Ramos, but they didn't want to lose their WBC sanctioned bout.
Okay.
They didn't want to lose the WBC sanctioned bout. Elijah Garcia was never a thing.
Okay.
Elijah Garcia was never a thing. So, yeah. I don't care for Johan Gonzalez per se, but being that it was Jannik Beck who ruined everyone's plans because he decided to get caught, he forgot that this wasn't a WBO IBF fight only. He forgot that there was going to be testing before the day of the fight. He forgot that. Okay? So it's his fault, you know? One thing I'm hearing is that I see a lot of people talking about Charlo Plant and it might be going on January 31st. I'm hearing that it might be going to February 21st on the Ryan Barrios card.
Okay, that's better. That's good. That's a good co-main for that card.
Yeah. And I'm also hearing that Rolly is indeed back in the pack.
As I said, though, right? As I said.
That's what you wanted.
I expected that. I just knew the Floyd thing wasn't real. But, yeah, I really don't mind Pacquiao versus Rolly. I got to be honest with you. Maybe I'm just a sucker. I don't know. But I've got some curiosity for that fight. I think, and I'm going to say this, maybe this isn't that bold of a claim, that's going to be way better than the Barrios Pacquiao fight.
Well, you're only saying that because you know someone's going to get knocked out.
And dude, I feel like there's going to be some good action in that fight. I got to be honest with you. I think there's going to be some good action in that
fight. Bro, action does not help Pacquiao.
Why?
Action is bad for Pacquiao.
I don't agree with that.
Bro, Rolly is going to beat the hell out of this guy.
Pacquiao, he doesn't have any legs. His legs, he doesn't have any bounce to his legs after like three or four rounds. So he if you turn him or whatever, he's got to constantly reset. If you're willing to exchange with him, his upper body's still pretty fast. That's like what we're seeing with Laura. Laura is still knocking people out because upper body's fine. It's just lower legs can't move like they used to.
Yeah, but if his legs can't move like they used to, how's he going to get out of the way of Rolly's punches?
He's not. But I don't know if Rolly, if they're exchanged, I'm not sure Rolly could get away with his either. I've seen Rolly get hurt by an old man before. I might see it again.
We'll see. We saw Rolly come back and knock that old man out, by the way. Don't forget that.
Help of Tony Weeks.
So Tony Weeks is the one that made Barroso dizzy. Not rolling punches.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you right now. When Tony Weeks called that fight, I thought Vince McMahon was at the end of the apron telling him to call it. I'm not going to lie to you. I said, man, that was an early stoppage.
According to J.R. Bell, J.B.Z., he says not if Plant is asking for a good amount of money. That is one thing that I heard, that Plant is blocking this fight.
I think Plant knows he only has like one more payday in him. So that doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, he's trying to cash out in this fight.
Interesting thing, I'm not sure if you saw the Boxing Source the other day, but J.B.Z. was on with Coach Roddy Shields. And Coach Ronnie Shields says that Jermall Charlo is back training with them. What are your thoughts on that?
That's good. I mean, Jermall Charlo, like I said, the whole thing about Jermall Charlo, I just think he's kind of past it. But I think that Ronnie Shields knows him very, very well. And I think that's a good move.
I don't think he's past it.
We'll see. He's got a chance to prove it. I was saying that, who's the guy that just beat Resendez? You know, Resendez has a chance of getting Plant, Berlanga, and Charlo. It's a good little run for himself.
It's not going to go that way, though.
It's not going to go the way you think it's going to go, huh?
Yeah, it's not going to go that way. What did you say?
Can I just say something about this trip?
What's up?
You know me, man. I'm not a traveler. I don't care for traveling. I don't leave California. You know me. I like San Antonio. I tell you right now, something about this town, man. It's got charm to it. It's got character. I like it here. And you know what? The people have been great. I've been talking to a lot of people. Basically, everywhere I go, I just have a conversation with someone. Hey, man, I like it here in San Antonio. And I never thought I'd say that. If you would have told me that I will step feet into San Antonio, I would have told you right out of your damn mind. I would have bet my life that wouldn't happen. I got to tell you. And I like it here, man. I like it here. I'm in the downtown
will
area.
Will you be able to safely cross back into California?
Oh, man. Yeah, San Antonio is one of my favorite cities, to be honest. I really like that. Yeah.
It's great. This is, I really like it.
Honestly, San Antonio seems great for Latinos.
There's a lot of Mexicans here, for sure. Yeah. A lot of Mexicans. It's diverse, too, though. I see diversity in it, too. The people have been great since I've been here, man. People have been great. I don't know. I just like it. I walked the river walk. I did the river walk this morning.
How did the river walk look?
It's nice. I mean, it's nice. I mean, I wouldn't jump in that water anytime soon, but it's nice. It's a nice little walk. You got to be walking in between like all these buildings, all these restaurants and stuff. It's cool. Like if you had that every morning, that'd be awesome. Like you just walk that every morning and you could walk that like to get to places. Like they literally walk that and it'll be like your directions to get somewhere. So it's really cool. I like all the buildings here. They kept, they're adding, but they kept the, you know, like kind of like the history of it, the culture of it. I don't know. I like it, man. I like it a lot.
Somebody wants to know if you're sitting in a hotel corner chair.
I am. This is not a mirror. It's a window.
You know what's crazy? The hotel corner chair, that is not a place for a real man to sit, just so you know.
Well, no, this isn't a hotel corner chair because the hotel... that's the hotel corner chair.
Okay.
I'm sitting at the office chair. I don't travel, so I'm not used to the lingo you guys are talking about. Hotel corner. I don't know.
Because here's the thing. The hotel corner chair, that's the cuck chair.
I don't know. This is the thing. Here's the problem. Here's the problem, right? I don't know your lingo. I'm not a traveler. I don't know the lingo. I don't like all this stuff. I don't see that's what I'm saying. I don't do this
happening. So. Listen, there are guys out there.
I have family listen to the show. We don't need to get the detail. I pretty much get the gist of it. You get what I'm saying? But this is the working chair. This is a, you know what? This is an office chair. It's got wheels on it.
No, you know what I mean? Like, I thought you were sitting in the country. I'm like, oh my God.
No, I don't know. That's right. When you say something like that, I know you guys don't mean any good by it.
I was like, thank God he got here and bring his wife with him. I would have had to question your manhood. Like, Jesus Christ.
I have family listens to the show. I have family listens to the show.
Does your wife listen to the show?
You know what? That's probably the only guy that does.
No way. She does not.
Okay, so we ain't got to worry then. We ain't got to worry. Tell us about all the women you met.
I haven't met any women. Who's that
in the reflection right there?
That's a good-looking gentleman right there. That's what that is right there.
Shit. That's hilarious, man. But who all have you spoken to since you've been out there? Who from boxing have you spoken to?
Like boxing, like media people members?
People who cover boxing.
Okay, yeah. I just met up with Remy today. Just met up with Remy. A lot taller you know what's funny? I have no idea dimensions of people from Twitter. Like, you can't, yo, I can't.
I don't like the way that sounds.
I'm just saying it is what it is. Yo. That sounds the way it sounds, right? But Remy's taller than I imagine. You know, so I met him. I met Boxing Barbecue. Who else have I met? I met this guy who covers box. Like, he just does like videos. He covers it and does like documentaries with it. And he used to work for Lowrider Magazine back in the day. This guy Javier, he was really cool. So that's of course I saw KB. You know, the coolest man in boxing. It's been good, man.
Listen, shout out to Kenneth Nahari for PBC. Yeah. Okay. In the words of Cam, who the fuck is that nigga? What's that nigga name? KB K Kenneth from PBC. Shout out to him.
Man, the class act, man. The classiest man in boxing. And I met Emily. Finally met Emily.
Yes, you know, queen.
Nice.
So I've been meeting people out here, man. It's been cool. It's been really, really fun. I get why people do this consistently. Like, I get it. It's a lot of fun to be. And once you feel like you're a part of it, once you get in it, you just kind of, you see all the usual faces and stuff like that. It's really a cool thing to be a part of.
It's like being part of Rasa, huh?
Yeah, there you go. See, Mike. This guy said he worked for Lowrider Magazine. I said, whoa. Yo, that's rich history right there. You know what? Get easy. I have not been taking advantage of the food here. I got to be honest with you. I came in yesterday, right? I come in yesterday. I get settled in here. And then I'm like, I got to start getting ready for this event. So I didn't even get to eat. Right. So then I head over there to the event. I come back. I'm like, I'm not going to walk around right now. I go, I just hit the lounge right here. I go, you guys got wings or something? They say, we got wings. I said, give me wings, a little bit of pizza. Pizza straight out the microwave. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I know microwave pizza when I see it. But they made me some good wings. But it took like 2 hours to get. So that's all I ate. This morning, haven't ate anything. I've had a cup of coffee. Have not ate one thing. Didn't eat breakfast or nothing. After we get done here, I'm about to go grab something to eat because I'm starving. I'm not taking advantage of the food here. I got to grab some barbecue.
No ceviche?
You know what? I got to wait for J-Ro to come in because he would know where to go for that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, what boxing people have you spoken to?
I talked to Jesus Ramos. I talked to Shane Mosley Jr. I've talked to Lara. I've talked to Amat Roach's father. You spoke to
Lara?
Mm-hmm.
Lara don't speak English.
I know. I mean, the thing is, too, is like when... his translator was there, but Lara was kind of looking at me like, this guy knows what I'm talking about. And I just kind of had a nod like, oh, yeah, yeah. And him not knowing that I didn't understand one word he was saying.
Well, what did Lara have to say about his fight coming up? And did you ask him about Jana Beck?
I did. I said, do you think that I don't think it was translated correctly. I got to be honest with you. Because I said, okay, Jana Beck, right? Do you feel like we punished these guys enough, severely enough, right? And his response, I think the guy kind of asked him, like, what do you think about him getting punished? And that's not what I asked, right? So I think his response was like, well, I'm glad he got punished. Like, you know, he needs to get punished. That's what we need to do because, you know, he tested positive and he's fighting a 40-year-old man and he's in his early 30s. Like, well, you know, what's his problem? He was pissed, though. I think that, you know, I'm not saying that, like, maybe people feel like, oh, were you going to get an easier fight? Or maybe, like, did people think that? No, like, this dude looked legitimately pissed that he wasn't getting that fight. He looked like he was trying to prove something. Because
look at it this way. They didn't find out till fight week, December 2nd.
Yeah. No, he was legitimately pissed. This dude
was ready to go. He was ready to go.
Yeah, he brought it up. I could see him, like, clenching, like just biting, like, his mouth. Like, I could see him just pissed about it. Just not happy about how that played out. Felt bad.
I hope he's not making less money.
Well, see, that's the thing. I can't imagine. I was thinking that, but I can't imagine that's the case. That's why I think, honestly, that Johan really got the fight because anyone else would probably want to increase some money, and they're probably like, no, we're not doing that. You know what I mean? So I can't imagine that's the case. I do kind of sense some kind of confidence from Johan. I don't know. So it's just kind of that might be a tougher fight than we're thinking.
Well, because he's fighting a guy who didn't train for him.
Yeah.
And he's fighting a guy who doesn't move a lot anymore. So exactly. He's going to be there to hit. It's going to be a war.
Yeah, I think so. I think he knows that this guy's going to sit on his shots and he knows he's going to come forward. I think we might get something pretty fun in that fight too. I really don't think, you know, I could be dead wrong. I could walk away from this with being like, well, all these fights are boring. Didn't pan out the way we thought. I really feel like we're going to get some really good fights. And it feels like a good energy to it.
Yeah, I honestly can't wait. I think it's a big fight for Lara because now we got to see what's next for him. Are they going to try to do a Jesus Ramos unification when Adames moves up? Are they going to re-kick the tires on Jana Beck? They got to do something with Lara, you know?
He's not fighting Adames. Maybe it's the Jesus Ramos fight. I don't know, but yeah, they got to do something. There's got to be an end to this, right? An end game to this.
Now, you also spoke to Lamont Roach Sr.
Mm-hmm.
What's the mindset for the Roaches going into this fight?
They feel real confident. They feel real, real confident, man. They feel like they deserve to be here, and they're finally getting recognized for being here. I'm kind of curious. I wish I could ask Lamont Roach a few more like about that, but because you know he wasn't a guy like I said that was given anything. He had to kind of earn it. And he got it at a certain age where I kind of wonder, you know, if it's almost better that you got it at that point. There's certain things in my life that I know I couldn't have handled when I was younger, but I was fortunate enough that I always wanted it, but I got it when I was old enough to handle it. I guess that's the case. And I'm curious his perspective on that. But yeah, they feel really confident. They feel like that they feel pretty sure what's going to happen in the ring when they get in there. And they feel like they're going to be able to show everything that they can do in that ring. And that's really perspective I'm getting. But when I see Esar Cruz too, like this dude's mentality, this dude's a confident guy, man. Like that's a really confident guy. That's a really guy he's comfortable in that room, man. I don't see nothing in him that this feels too big. Like he just feels like he's like loving all the energy, all the fans and everything like that. He's got this kind of like aura about him. It just seems like
that aura.
Yeah, like he's not like he might lose a fight, right? But he's not afraid of anyone. I guess that's like a perspective to have, right? Like he might think like, okay, maybe the guy outboxes me, but I'm not afraid of anyone. That's what I get from him.
How are the fans reacting to him down there?
They love him. Oh, Pitbull's a hit over here. And you know, the one thing is like when Roach got called out for like the workout, it wasn't a lot of like claps or anything for them. For him, but like the way he explained how he wanted to like win them over and he's going to show them like they're going to become fans of him. And I could see like more people more accepting of like, I think people are, of course, he's not Cruz fans, but I think that they, if there's a performance is good enough, right? And the thing, and they beat them, I think that the people are going to leave here being Lamont Roach fans if that's the performance he can give them. I think people are ready. I think Esau Cruz is like on the edge of being like a really superstardom. I get that kind of feeling from it. But I think Lamont Roach has newfound fame going into this fight, and I think that this win would really kind of catapult him to a new spot.
Now, let me ask you a question. Could Pitbull Cruz supplant Canelo as the Mexican superstar in boxing? Because it seems like things are aligning that way. Canelo is descending rapidly. Canelo is just one of the most horrible losses in boxing history against Crawford. And now you have Pitbull on the big stage once again against a guy who got a draw with Tank, and now they're both getting a Tank rub. They're both in the spotlight. Could we see Pitbull Cruz become the next Mexican superstar?
I think it could be that another Mexican superstar. I don't know if you ever supplant Canelo. I don't think so. I mean, maybe they go on some insane run that I'm not seeing, right? Because like say he knocked out Roach and then fought Tank and knocked him out. Then you know now we're talking at that point. But I do think that he's for sure has like big star power. I really do believe that. He's just gonna need to get the wins kind of racked up. And if he were to knock out Lamont Roach, I mean that's a really good spot to be in.
Lamont Roach have any star power?
I think he does. I think that people noticed it. I think that maybe people still knew. I don't know. I think they kind of stumbled upon that Tank Roach fight. Something about that fight, and I think people just kind of like were drawn to both those guys and them fighting each other. And the way he came out of that fight, and now he's on, you know, big shows. People want to interview him. This dude does have star power, and he feels like he's like I said, he feels like he's okay with being in the spotlight. He feels very comfortable in the spotlight, it looks like. So I do think that there is star power there. I think if he wins this fight too, he's in a really, really good spot, really interesting spot, especially if he stays at 140 or goes down to 135. You know, he has options. A fight with Shakur is there, a fight with Teal, if Teal were to beat Shakur. He has a lot of fights that make a lot of sense that would, you know, that he would be a name too, a big name addition to. So I do think he has star power as well. This is a really interesting night of fights of just how this card's put together and the way people are reacting to it.
Now, with Lamont Roach, obviously, we know he went on the quote-unquote victory, well, the draw tour, because it wasn't a victory. Now he's in his moment. This is his moment. This is his moment. What are you sensing about his confidence and his father's confidence going into this fight?
They're really confident, man. Really, really confident. They don't think I know people think that, you know, saying like, oh, that was just an off night for Tank. I think they think that was business as usual for Lamont Roach. I really think that. And I think that they think they're going to show you guys some things in the ring there. And I'm very curious on his perspective on this fight and where he thinks he can have a lot of success in this fight, because I would not be surprised if we do see a lot of fighting on the inside, because I do think that he thinks he's sharper on the inside and he'll be more effective on the inside. I think that he's going to surprise some people on where this fight takes place. And I do think that you're going to get a very entertaining fight from both these guys.
Yo, any celebrities out there?
Not that I've seen, not yet. I mean, I don't think the celebrities are going to go to think. Oh, I did see, and I got to be honest, I'm like, I don't watch that show. So, but Stat Baby, is that the right name?
Oh, you talking about Treasure Wilson.
You already lost them the name. I don't know.
Baby. What it is, Cam and Mace.
Yes. Okay. So you standing next to us, right?
Please. I need to know.
Hold on. Sorry to this.
Oh my God.
I asked her for an interview.
I didn't see no interview from her.
Okay, so let me get to the thing. So I said, hey, you mind if I get an interview real quick? It'll be really quick. And she's kind of just looking at me like, and then I said, hey, like, you know, don't feel any pressure. If you don't want to do it, then it's fine. And she said, yeah, I'm going to pass on it. And then I just kind of walked back. That's kind of what that came with it. But I did make the attempt, Matt, because I thought Matt said get some interviews. And did Matt
wants to do that. So you can't let him option out. You can't be like, okay, if not, you know.
Did you tell her that you're from Brunch Boxing?
I did. I said for Brunch Box, I want to interview you. And that was it. But here's the one thing I'm going to say, Mike, in that situation. Okay. It's all like, there's a lot of, it's all men mostly in there, right? She's kind of new, I would imagine, to like the boxing scene and everything like that.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Here we go.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we hear you. You're about to get
it. I don't want to put it in an uncomfortable spot. Like, it wasn't no pressure like that. It was just like, hey, if I could grab it,
really going to me too on you? Like, what do you mean?
No, you're not me too. It's just like, if you don't really know the sport or something like that, like, I would get, if I was doing something, I was a celebrity, and maybe I'm not too familiar with what's going on, I don't want to be one of the people that's interviewed and, like, not really know what's going on. You know what I mean? And being afraid, like, what's
going on? You don't have to ask her X's and O's.
Of course not. I wasn't going to do that, of course. But maybe she's thinking that. You know, she don't know. She don't know the hell I am.
Yeah, you're in imaginary scenarios. Come on. You get interviewed.
I know what I'm going to ask. But I asked for an interview. She didn't look like she wanted to do it. Sorry. I said, okay. That's all good.
You know how many people don't want to do an interview? And I'm always like, real quick, we'll get this knocked out. I had a hunt down gap.
You gotta understand, Mike. When I'm out here, I'm not trying to impress Matt. I'm not trying to do this for Matt. I want to impress you because you're a master at this. You understand when Mike's out there, an interview gets done. Dude, Mike comes out here and he has things. So I'm trying to be like you. I'm getting out there. I'm asking people. I'm going in there. Like I'm really aggressive this time out. And listen, tomorrow I'm gonna come back. But I asked that baby. That's the thing. That's the difference. And you know what? There wasn't a lot of people asking that baby, right? Because I don't think they had the confidence to. I don't think they were the thing. So I went and said, okay, let me ask it. And I got to be honest. I had just found out her name about 10 seconds before that.
Did they have food there?
They did, but I wasn't there for it.
No.
You wasn't there for interviews either. You ain't get that baby. I'm about to tweet her right now. I'm about to tweet her right now.
You better be like, we trying to get you, Stat Baby.
Yeah, I'm like, damn. Stat Baby turned out Ezra for an interview. We need you on the show.
I'm not going to lie. I wasn't sure if it was Stat Baby or Stack Baby. So I'm almost kind of glad I didn't get that interview because I think I would have been like, I'm here with Stack Baby.
Oh, Stat Baby. Like statistics. But yeah, I need to know. Is she as fine in person as she looks like on TV?
She's not a bad looking person. I got a wife and family to watch the show, but yeah, she's not a bad looking person.
1 to 10.
Probably 9.
Okay. Oh, Charles Barkley would be impressed.
She's a
Charles Barkley was talking about, what was Santana, I don't think he was talking about Stat Baby. I gotta be honest with you. I don't think he was keeping Stat Baby in mind.
Yeah, Stat Baby is fine, man. Oh my gosh. You should have got the interview, man.
Maybe I could get on the show with Mason Cameron.
Well, they are hosting the weigh-in tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get on there with them.
Did you happen to
what?
Did you happen to run into Oshaki Foster?
Oshaki Foster. So interesting enough. When we did the workout, he didn't come out. He didn't. I don't know if he came to the ring. I didn't see him interview. Now I heard them say, like, I don't know. Maybe you saw the clip, but he didn't interview with anyone there. He was at the fight, but I didn't interview him today. I'll attempt to interview him tomorrow.
But you saw him?
Not like in person, no. Not like next to him, no.
Damn.
But I'm gonna approach him tomorrow and be like, "Hey, you brunch boxing."
Damn. Because I want you to check something out for me.
All right. Well, text it to me. I'll ask them all.
Yeah. Oh, man. Who else is down there, man? Did you run into my guy, Abel Mendoza?
I saw Abel Mendoza. I got to interview him. That guy had a full-on suit with no undershirt.
We're not interviewing him like that.
Oh, no?
No. No.
With the suit with no undershirt, you're saying?
No, absolutely not. We don't want that on our air. I'm the only one that could do a show with no shirt on. Oh, dude's trying to take my gimmick. But find out who he's fighting, because he's with PBC now.
All right, I'm going to ask him tomorrow.
Yeah, he's with PBC now. He signed with TGB, I think like a little bit over a month ago. So find out who he's fighting.
All right, awesome.
Man, hey, you gotta get your TMZ on tomorrow.
Oh, I'm gonna be aggressive tomorrow.
Yeah, go find the fighter hotels and go wait outside or wait in the lobby.
Tomorrow's a chill day. You should be at the fighter's hotel in the lobby.
Yeah, tonight. In the lobby.
Get some good information.
You got a lot of good stuff, man.
Wish I could have stood there.
A lot of good scuttlebutt.
Imagine I would have stood there. Oh man, that would have been something.
Oh man, that's cool though, man. Hey, I'm glad you're having a good time out there.
Oh, I'm having a great time, man. This is fun. This is a lot of fun.
I thought you were gonna be complaining since Janabek isn't fighting.
You know what? I did pay for trip insurance, and I thought I was gonna have to pull that card. And then I said, you know what? This is still a great card. I got to get out there. I got to get out there and show support. I'm complaining about fights not being in the States. I got to get out here and show support when they're here.
Good point.
Yep. You know what I mean?
I mean, I thought you were going. I thought for sure you weren't going to go.
I got to tell you, too, when I was in that plane and I was 40,000 miles in the air and I was looking down, a lot of stuff, not really much to look at. I got to be honest with you. Not as exciting to look outside of an airplane window as you would think it would be. It's actually extremely boring.
Yes, it is. Like, were you looking at the Grand Canyon you passed and that's it?
I'm going to see some things, you know what I mean? Just thought I was going to see some things, but you know what? I was just like, Green Acre, desert, dirt. That was it.
Four-hour flight?
Yeah, well, I had a connecting flight, so it was like hour something, stop, hour something.
All right, well, make sure you get out there tonight.
I'm about to paint the town red, my friend.
No, just to get information. You'll meet people, talk to trainers.
Yeah, you know. I'm going to get into the dark places of San Antonio, and I'm going to find out a bunch of information I can. I might not even read about boxing. You know what I mean?
When you say the dark places.
Are you going to make some kind of joke that I'm not going
to do? No, I'm wondering what you mean. You talking about the hoes?
Come on, man. I have family watching this show.
Oh, I was wondering.
But the thing is, it's not even what I meant. I don't even know how you came from there to there. I'm not even sure how you connected them. I'm not sure how you connected them.
Hey. So you're not talking about the hoes?
No. Never. When I talk, it's never that.
Okay. So just to reiterate, you're not going to find no hoes out there.
Nope.
But all the hoes out for this event.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm not keeping track or count.
Dude, I'm married and I even keep count of this. It's just a thing that you gotta keep count of. Part of the job.
I'm not keeping count or track. I gotta be honest
with you. It's for the people. It's not for you. It's for the people.
San Antonio. I gotta be honest.
It's for the people. You say that and they hear that, they're like, you know what? I might make the trip out there.
San Antonio is a good town. It's a town that goes to bed early, wakes up and works hard in the morning, and it goes to church on Sunday. That's the kind of town San Antonio is. I won't talk about it any other way.
That's hilarious. Well, we need to know if the ladies is out.
I'll let you know if I know.
Even in the comments, they're saying, man, that we need to know. You don't got to track it, but they need to know. The people need to know. This is part of boxing. This is what takes events to the next level.
JPC. Oh, man. Classic Charles Barkley.
All right, man. We're going to wrap it up. Anything you want to tell the people that you got coming up?
No. I mean, I'm going to keep providing interviews, content. I'm going to be posting some videos I took from today, post on our YouTube on the shorts and stuff like that. And then, I'm just going to keep providing as much content as I can while out here. And, of course, we'll have a show Saturday, right? Pre-fight?
Yeah, why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Of course, we'll have a show Saturday.
Definitely.
Yeah, we have a great quality for the people.
I'm going to have a breakdown for every fight. There's still some fights that I'm still iffy about. I got to be honest with you. I don't really know how it's going to play out. We got to have a breakdown. We're going to have our exactly after weigh-in, how everybody looked, the feel of it, what the fight night's going to be like, and our bets. Of course, our best bets. I'm excited, man. Like I said, I want the excitement up because this is a great weekend coming for boxing. This is a great weekend coming, and we need more of it. So I'm hoping the boxing fans are excited as I am. And hopefully I can, give you more content while out here. I did a walk and talk. Matt didn't bring it up. I did a walk and talk while out here. I'm doing a few more stuff while I'm out here. I'm hoping to, just bring excitement for this event.
And just so you know, the Lakers offered Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, Dalton Connect, a first-round pick in 2031, and three first-round pick swaps to the Bucks for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's official?
It's an official offer.
Oh, my God. I mean, you have to do it. I mean, I love Austin Reeves. Everybody knows how I feel about Austin Reeves. You have to do it. You have to. That could get you Giannis. And I really kind of feel like Giannis is coming to L.A. I just, when the buzz is there for an L.A. team to get something, it usually happens. I just, the one thing I knew about Austin Reeves playing to what I thought he was, playing to even maybe surpass what I thought he was. I knew that was going to get him traded. I just know the way the Lakers think, and if they could get matchup Luka with Giannis, they're going to do it. And I can't blame them. I can't blame them. That's a hell of a team. You know what I mean? That's a hell of a two guys to build with, and you just go from there. I can't blame them on that. And honestly, it makes LeBron James way more valuable too.
Yeah, I'm a keep it a bean. I was wrong about Austin Reeves.
Everyone was. Except for me.
I was wrong about Austin Reeves. You were right. This is the first time you're as right. Maybe boxing is not your thing.
No, because I'm as right on boxing all the time. We just don't do a segment.
Come on, God.
When I'm wrong about something, we do a whole half-hour segment on it. When I'm right about something, we never talk about it.
Oh, what did you think about Callum Smith, David Morrell?
They love that
agreement.
Yeah, it was, the fight made too much sense to go a different direction. You know, like, you got to make that fight. That's a great fight. And I think Morrell's going to look great in that fight. I think that's a perfect kind of matchup for him to look fantastic in. But it's also a tough fight. Like, it is a tough fight. It's an offensive fight. Perfect spots of their careers right now. That's literally a crossroad fight? That's literally a crossroad fight. And I think Morrell is going to probably have some interesting opportunities because no one wants to fight Benavidez, but I think Morrell might be a guy that they're willing to step in the ring with. So I think that it's going to be interesting to put how that pans out. But yeah, that fight makes way too much sense. Now, I do have a question for you, actually, on something that I saw. There was a reservation for a date for a venue, and it said Matchroom and TGB, I believe, or PVC or something like that.
That's a typo.
That was Cinco de Mayo. Is that a typo? I mean, well, yeah, what the hell is that?
It's a typo. Okay. That's TGB and Golden Boy.
Okay.
Yeah, David versus Zerto.
Zerto. Okay.
Yeah, that's a typo.
That's a crazy typo.
It is. It's a typo.
Okay.
Wow, what were you thinking?
I don't know. That's why I was like, I don't even know what the hell that could be. That's why I was thinking, I'm like, what is that? What the hell is that? But that makes sense. You know, I mean, just a typo on that, on the fight that we already know is going to happen. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at stuff that's happening on Twitter right now.
All right.
Yeah. That's funny. But anyway, great luck.
All right. This has been a great show, man. Guys. Thank you for joining us. Yes. Mike is back.
I'm the one that ends the show. Shout out to Antonio Tarver, Gennady Golovkin, and Nigel Benn for making the Hall of Fame. Thank you, Mike, for joining us, man. We hope to have you on Saturday. Boots on the ground, Ezra Boxing, the master of the walk and talk, doing it live and direct from the Riverwalk. Iconic. I fucking conic. You know what? Punch Boxing will be back tomorrow with a weigh-in special. Fuck it. We out here, man. But right now, we're out.